Amen. Let's pray together. God, we think of the song we just sang of assurance. We need you. We want you to walk with us through trials, in our trouble, in our pilgrim journey, Lord. If you are not walking with us, our labor in this walk is in vain. We pray, Lord, that even now that we would see the love that you have for us, Lord, in this journey up this hill, that our eyes this morning would be fixed on the hill of suffering that we are in, Lord, and that we are coming out of. We love you so much, Jesus. We pray that you guide our hearts and guard our hearts. It's in Jesus' name that we say together, amen. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to grab them. This morning, we have the privilege of learning from a psalm that has been a mainstay in the lives of our children for the past few weeks, Psalm 121. And in terms of structure, one would say that we're deviating from the Lord's Prayer sermon series, but I don't want to think of it that way. As a matter of fact, I think this is a strong appendix to the sermon series on the Lord's Prayer, because as the Lord's Prayer teaches us how to pray, I believe Psalm 121 is faithful in showing us just one of the many examples in Scripture of how it looks like to faithfully pray, and my personal favorite, faithfully pray through song, which is so beautiful. So let's read it together, Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. It's the word of the Lord given for our good. Amen? Amen. So in preparation for this sermon this week, I spent most of my week dwelling on a specific event that took place during the 1992 Olympics in Barcelona. Some of you may know where I'm going with this, but Derek Redman was the runner from England who participated that year in the 400-meter race, only to tear his hamstring 20 seconds into the race. Now, can you imagine this guy training years upon years for this pinnacle moment, only in the 20th second of his race to pop his hamstring? As you would expect, in excruciating pain, he falls to his knee, and he grips his hamstring, and the camera, as you would expect, zooms right into his face to show the agony and the despair and the anguish. But the race doesn't end there. The race continues. And Derek, to everyone's surprise, gets up and begins to limp to the finish line. And the crowd, not expecting to see this happen, begins to cheer him on. Now, the truth is, his hopes for winning the race, everybody knew, was dashed. They were over. But his hopes for finishing the race continued. And his face, still riddled with this pain, riddled with this agony, continues in anguish as his eyes are lifted up and he's walking, limping to the finish line, only for him to totally break down when someone in the crowd runs to his aid, to be his father. And his father goes under his arm, and they walk together in tears to the finish line. What a beautiful image we see that our journey of suffering is not alone. See, because in the psalm we read this morning, we see it as a song of ascents. As a matter of fact, that's how it begins. My help comes from the Lord, a song of ascents. A song that would be sung by pilgrim through a pilgrim's journey up the mountains of Jerusalem. No, I'm not much of a mountain climber. I know we have one in the room, maybe more. But I don't need to be one to know that if I went out to climb a mountain on my own, it'd be a lot more difficult than, say, someone who has climbed mountains, Caleb, in the past. Likewise, I don't have to be an expert to know that no one, not the seasoned climber nor the first timer, would ever call a journey up or down a mountain an easy one. And that's where we meet our passage this morning in Psalm 121, verse 1, where it says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? Not only is this a literal song of ascent, but it's also spiritual. And how often is our journey of life an upward climb? I'm reminded of the Marty Robbins tune that says, this time, Lord, you gave me a mountain that I may never climb. It isn't just a hill any longer. No, Lord, you gave me a mountain this time. See, some of us come into today making the long ascent from unexpected death. Globally, many are making this climb. We think of the people in El Paso and throughout the world. In our pain and in our grief, let us cry out, where does my help come? Some of us come in today making the long ascent from unexpected security loss. We may have lost our jobs or have lost the ability to provide for our families or have the impending fear of how we're going to pay for our next bill. In our unknowns and in our financial woes, let us cry out, where does my help come from? See, some of us come into today making the long ascent from familial wars, husbands waging wars against wives and wives waging war against husband on how to care for the house and the home. Sons and daughters are waging war against parents on the ever-increasing desire for some type of liberation. Globally, one country wages war against another at the expense of countless lives lost. Friends, we need not look far to see a war waging today on the very hill that is spoken of in Psalm 121 with the Arab-Israeli conflict for this very Temple Mount. In the midst of our wars, whether it be personal, religious, or global, let us cry out, where does my help come from? And before we move on to verse 2, which answers this question, where our help comes from, it's important to note that we do not have the timeline in which the psalmist wrote this specific psalm. Verse 1 and verse 2 can be minutes apart in its writing of the struggle, or it can be even years apart. We need only look to the book before Psalm in Job to see tangibly what it looks like to struggle and to wrestle. To those that are struggling through a difficult time right now, take hope in the verse that follows, even though you may not truly see it or believe it in this season of life. Because the next verse tells us, my hope comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. This is our reminder in times of distress. Charles Spurgeon, the preacher, a preacher that knew much about the seasons of distress, once said, God would sooner destroy heaven and earth than permit his people to be destroyed. This is the helper that we see, the same one that the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 40, 28 and 29. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Friends, in the midst of an uphill journey, this is the God we have beside us. He's not a God that coaches us from afar. He's not a God that claps for us in the race. No, he's the God that comes and runs with us when we need his help. See, Isaiah 41, 13 tells us, for I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you. This passage reminds us where we ought to look. Brothers and sisters, I urge you, I encourage you, as hard as this may be, look beyond the struggling hills. Look beyond the stumbling blocks. Friends, isolated Psalm 121 is a beautiful song, but let's not miss it. While we struggle in our walk, while we look at the daunting hills that are in front of us in our life, verse 2 reminds us that there is a greater thing to look to. Look beyond the hill, look beyond heaven, look beyond earth, and look to the hill. Not the one the city of Jerusalem rests on, but the one that overlooks the city from the outside. As we come into this psalm, let us look to the hill of Calvary. Let us look to the hill of Golgotha where Jesus bled and died. Because it is dwelling on the ultimate suffering, dwelling on the ultimate sacrifice that causes the psalmist to break forth in praise and declaration. Reminding me of that beautiful hymn that sings, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." And the song of Psalm 121 thus crescendos to a beauty of promises, beginning with, "He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber." What a beautiful promise to begin with, that he guides and guards our path, watching continually over the saints. See, it is comparable to another promise found in the Psalms, that he builds the house and he who watches over the city he does that so that our labor is not in vain and that our watching is not in vain. Nothing we do, no calamity that comes our way will ever be able to stump our God. The God who keeps us is faithful to not sleep or slumber. We need not worry about our God being surprised by the opposition, for his eye is ever on us. And it gets deeper than this. We read from 1 Peter 5 this morning of an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. But what's beautiful about this is that Peter tells us all of this is kept for us in heaven by God. We doubled down on this morning when we heard of Jesus speaking of his sheep and making the grand proclamation, "I give them eternal life and they will never perish," and my favorite part, "and no one will snatch them from my hand." Friends, our security is secure. He will make sure our foot be not moved. While on earth, will we still feel the sting of death? Yes. Will we still feel insecure in our finances, insecure in our relationships, insecure in our status, insecure in our well-being? The answer is yes. But take heart, for the God who will not let your foot be moved is guiding you and guarding you. Not from rocky hill to rocky hill. No, it's deeper than that. Because hill season, friends, is only temporary. No, he is guiding our steps to glory, in which he assures us, "You will inherit it because I have kept it for you." If glory is something that we inherit on our own, that's not certain for us. But God has kept it for us. That's the good news. And it continues, "The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night." Now that our eyes are fixed on the hill of Calvary, which has given us this gift of salvation, it is beautiful to see our Jehovah lightening the load for his kept people. Life doesn't get easier when you come to Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen. But the burdens that are ever present become lighter, and I believe we see that much in this text. "The sun shall not strike you by day or the moon by night." And on this passage, the aforementioned Charles Spurgeon makes the claim that while on earth, we still endure the heat of the sun, but thanks to God, it won't be resting on the top of our heads. See, our hearts and minds will be aligned to the truth that what awaits for us after life and on earth is total gain. Thus, anything we endure on this side of glory, good or bad, only stirs this yearning for the glory that is to come. Yet this also calls us back to the first promise of God being our provision and our keeper. The Lord is your shade, and on your right hand, this is covenantal language, that he is our God and we are his people. Thus, like our shadow is inseparable from us, we now are inseparable from God. That he walks alongside us so closely that he becomes our shade. That when the heat hits us, he brings a cooling. And when the day grows dim, he is ever with us. That's good news. And the Lord will keep you from all evil, the psalmist continues. He will keep your life. This word evil can be more accurately translated to harm, trouble, or calamity. The Lord keeps us from this, not by assuring us of never feeling harm, never feeling trouble, or never feeling calamity, but rather by keeping our life securely in his hands. August is a tough month for me and my family because on August 1st, 2014, when I was 21, I had just started a church in Cicero in the month of March of that year. And on August 1st, we received the news that my cousin of 24 years old, Justin, passed away in his battle with cancer. In all my life, I have never wept more bitter tears. Because everyone feels the calamity. Everyone feels the trouble. Everyone feels the harm in this life. Everyone feels the pangs of death. See, one day your lost life will be the source of bitter tears. But friends, the only thing bitter about those tears was that I was going to miss my cousin and my friend dearly, but not forever. Because a week before he passed, my aunt asked me to go up to the hospital and talk to him about his eternal security in Christ. And upon entering, he embraced me and he kissed me and I asked him how he was feeling. Before even saying a single word, he grabbed the Bible that was in my hand and he opened it to his favorite verse at the time, Romans 8:28, which has become my favorite verse for probably all of my life. All things work together for the good, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And after he had me read it aloud, he said triumphantly, Louis, I'm not worried about what happens because I know who I belong to. See, I am so thankful for this opportunity that God allowed me to have with my cousin, not because I had this definite report that I could give to his mom and our family that he is going to be with Jesus, more than this, I was able to see the grandness of God. That a young man so overcome and riddled with cancer can be assured of his love from Christ. That in the face of death, he could look and say, what awaits me is total gain. This is the norm for all of us who have placed our hope and our trust in Christ. That calamity will hit us. Trouble will assail us. Harm will inflict. But evil, all of that evil cannot sting us. For our life is not our own, but is kept by God. And the psalmist continues and says, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. What a suitable end to a beautiful psalm. The Lord keeps us wherever we go. Talk about everlasting love. Love that we learn will never be separated or severed, not by height nor by depth, not by things present or things to come, not by dying or living. Everywhere we go, he is there, and he is there forever. I like to close with a favorite song of mine, known only to him. And it says this, known only to him are the great hidden secrets. I'll fear not the darkness when my flame shall dim. For I know not what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. It's a secret known only to him. Friends, let's take hope in that. That in this journey of life, we may not know what our next step looks like or where our next step is going. But we can rest assured that we serve a God who not only knows where our next step is going, but knows where all our steps are going. He guides each one. He guards each one. And brothers and sisters, he keeps each one. The word of the Lord. Amen.